A reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, verses 13 to 19. Verse 13. Sarve yami vidikaras tava satyatana Brahmara yoga yami vishana chad vijanta Shemaya bhutaya utatma sukaya chasya Vikiri chandakavata uchilavatare. O my Lord, all the demigods, headed by Lord Brahma, are sincere servants of your lordship, who are situated in a transcendental position. Therefore, they are not like us, Prahlad and his father, the demon Hiranyakashipu. Your appearance in this fearsome form is your pastime for your own pleasure. Such an incarnation is always meant for the protection and improvement of the universe. So what do you remember from the 8th chapter of this canto? What happened? Maybe the pictures can give you a clue. Adipurush. Yes. Shinga tore apart Hiranyakashipu. These pictures are by Bhagavatasi, who was here last year. Except for this one, this last one. The Nrisingadev pictures are by Bhagavatasi. Okay, what else happened in the 8th chapter? Yes.
Well, failed to satisfy.
They could not satisfy it. Although all the demigods and rishis and the leaders, like he's mentioning in this verse, the leaders, sincere servants of your lordship, headed by Brahma, Brahmadaya, they're transcendental, but they could not pacify the Lord. So what happened in the beginning of this chapter? Okay, well, let me say a few things about chapter 8. I have a few nice little comments by Srila Prabhupada from his lecture. And one comment was on the verse where Nrisingadev asks, where Hiranyakashipu asks Prahlad Maharaj, by whose power have you become so fearless? And Srila Prabhupada's comment is, by whose power you are so puffed up, by his power I am so humble. That was Prabhupada's comment on that verse. So then he asks, is your Lord in this pillar? And Lord Nrisingadev appeared to uphold the words of Prahlad Maharaj, the words of Narada Muni, and the words of Lord Brahma. Three different words. So what were the words of Narada Muni that Lord Nrisingadev upheld by appearing from the pillar? What did Narada Muni say? I Purush.
The Lord is present everywhere.
That's Prahlad's words. That's the words of Prahlad Maharaj. Okay. The words of Prahlad Maharaj are that the Lord is present everywhere. Yes? Yes. Right. So Narada Muni promised Prahlad's mother that he will not be killed. He will always be saved. And he also said to the demigods, no one can kill him. You will not be able to kill him. And what were the words of Lord Brahma that Lord Nrisingadev upheld by coming from the pillar? Or by appearing, anyway. By his appearance. So many words. Jamashtami. Yes, he promised the demigods his reign of terror would soon end, and he would not be born in the day or night. He was born in the middle, in the sandhya. He will not be born by any weapons. So he would not be killed by any weapons. He would not be killed in day or night. He would not be killed by any weapons. So he was killed by the nails of Lord Nrisingadev, etc. So many of Lord Brahma's words he also upheld. So then Lord Nrisingadev appeared, and we'll sing a little prayer for Lord Nrisingadev that he will also appear in our hearts. And this is by Prahlad Maharaj in the 5th canto. Om namo bhagavate narasimhaya namaste jaste jase avirahidava vajanakam vajranamsa karamashayam randaya randaya tamo vyasadasya om swaha avayam avayam atmani buddhishta om sham. So that prayer is to Lord Nrisingadev. Prahlad is saying, you have such beautiful long nails and teeth, and you are using them to kill this demon Hiranyakashipu. But please, I would like you to also appear in my heart and use those long nails and teeth to destroy all my demoniac desires for material enjoyment, so I may become fearless in the path of birth and death. So Nrisimhadeva is a huge lion, and Prahlad is like the lion cub. He's like the lion cub. Prabhupada comments that if someone tries to take away the cub, then the parent will come roaring and attack. So Nrisimhadeva was still roaring, and the demigods could not pacify him. So Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada gives another prayer. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he visited Jiyada Nrisimha temple, he sang, this they sing in Mayapur, this one. Shri Nrisimha Jai Nrisimha Jai Jai Nrisimha Paladesha Jaya Parma Mukha Parma Bhinda. All glories to Lord Nrisimhadeva, Lord of Prahlad. Prahlad is like a honeybee, always engaged in beholding. Nrisimha is like a honeybee, always engaged in beholding the lotus-like face of the goddess of fortune. And then Lord Chaitanya offered another prayer. Ugra pyanuga evayam savatanam vikeshari keshari vasapotanam anyesham ugravikrama. Although very ferocious, the lioness is very kind to her cubs. Similarly, although very ferocious to non-devotees like Hiranyakashipu, Lord Nrisimhadeva is very, very soft and kind to devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. So any of you who have visited Mayapur and stayed there for some time may have experienced how this Ugra Nrisimha in Mayapur is very, very soft to the devotees, like a father. And if you have any disease or anything, very quickly he cures your disease, both mental and physical. So all the demigods were very fearful. They were afraid to come in front of Nrisimha, even Lakshmi. Why was Lakshmi afraid to come in front of her husband? Yes?
In a lecture, Prabhupada mentioned she was afraid because she didn't recognize him.
Yeah, she never saw him like this before, so she thought, well, maybe it's not my husband. Maybe it could be an imposter here. I never saw him like this. Yes.
But in other couples, she was seeing him in the same form.
In which? Yeah, well, that was long ago.
Maybe every couple, it seems the movie.
Anyway, let's not speculate. Every couple. Anyway, Prabhupada said she didn't see him like that before. Actually, in the spiritual world, you don't remember. It's like every time you have a pastime, like lifting of Govardhan Hill or anything, it's always new. It's like it never happened before. That's one aspect of the spiritual world. So after all the demigods failed to pacify, Lord Brahma pushed Prahlad in front of Lord Nrisimhadeva. Prabhupada said, just like pushing a child in the cage of a lion. But Prahlad was very happy and jolly, Prabhupada said. He wasn't afraid. He was ready to pacify Lord Nrisimhadeva. He fell at the feet of Lord Nrisimhadeva. And Nrisimhadeva was very pleased. And Prabhupada said, we should be simple and innocent like Prahlad Maharaj and accept Lord Nrisimhadeva. In Brihad Narasimha Purana, it says that Lord Nrisimhadeva, when Prahlad fell at his feet, he picked him up and he was licking him just like a lion licks a cub. He was actually licking the limbs of Prahlad Maharaj. So Prahlad captured the lotus feet of the Lord in his heart, and Lord Nrisimhadeva touched him. There's a picture here. He put his hand on Prahlad Maharaj's head. And Srila Prabhupada, I don't know if Brijan mentioned this, but in the lecture, Prabhupada said, we can have the same touch of Lord Nrisimhadeva on our head. And how do you do that? By chanting Hare Krishna, Maha Mantra. We can have the same touch of Nrisimhadeva's hand on our head as Prahlad Maharaj got if we simply chant Hare Krishna. And so then another verse, the Lord is not satisfied by dhana, riches, aristocratic family, personal beauty, all these things. They're just like zeros. But he's only satisfied by one thing. And what is that one thing? Bhakti, yes. Then verse 10, 12 ruminical qualities are useless if the person is averse to devotional service. Pararavinda vimukhat. He's lower than a devotee born as a dog eater. So these are the verses which are preceding this verse. So therefore in verse 12, Prahlad concludes, although I'm a demon, I may offer prayers to you and become purified. So in this verse, in the purport, middle of the purport, verse 13, Prabhupada says, Lord Nrisingadev, for example, appeared for the protection of his devotee. Such pastimes as those of Nrisingadev are certainly not meant to create a fearful situation for the devotees. But nonetheless, the devotees, being very simple and faithful, were afraid of the fierce incarnation of the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, in the following prayer, requests the Lord to give up his anger. So Prahlad actually is, we'll find later on, he's not afraid, but he's praying. All his prayers, they're not actually on behalf of himself, but they're on behalf of others. So this prayer, this verse 13, 14, 15, they're all on behalf of the demigods. The demigods are afraid. So he's asking, you please don't be angry anymore. These demigods, they are your devotees. They are transcendental. They are not demons like we are. So you please cease your anger. So with great attention, very sincerely, he is offering his prayers. Srila Prabhupada said, we should also very sincerely and with great attention chant Hare Krishna. So he's stressing that in his lectures on these verses. So Prahlad Maharaj, in his prayer, he's saying, we belong to the demon class, but these demigods are not like that. So your appearance, he's saying, you're coming for them, not for us. You're coming for these demigods. They are your sincere servants, not like us. We are just demons. So how humble is Prahlad Maharaj? He's not saying, I'm a devotee. He says, I'm a demon. I'm born in demon family. My Prabhupada said, this is a sign of a devotee, that he takes this humble attitude. So in this verse also, in 13, he's saying, you're coming for their maintenance. Your incarnation is for protection and improvement of the universe. So now you should not be angry. You should not be angry. Give up your anger. So verse 14, a very famous verse. My Lord Nrisingadev, please therefore cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear. So everyone's afraid, and Prahlad is saying, yes, now you should stop your anger so they'll be free from fear, and they'll remember you, and they'll be free from fear. Purport. Prabhupada says, the most important point in this verse is that although saintly persons never desire the killing of any living entity, they take pleasure in the killing of envious living entities like snakes and scorpions. Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or a scorpion, and therefore everyone was happy. Why was Hiranyakashipu worse than a snake or a scorpion? Yes, Madhavendra. He could not be tamed. Yes, Chanaka Pandit says that. We'll quote that verse a little later on. That, yes. Yeah, he wanted to kill his own son. Even the snakes don't eat their own children. So Prabhupada says Hiranyakashipu was killed because he was worse than a snake or scorpion, and therefore everyone was happy. Now there was no need for the Lord to be angry. The devotees can always remember the form of Nrisingadev when they are in danger, and therefore the appearance of Nrisingadev was not at all inauspicious. The Lord's appearance is always worshipful and auspicious for all sane persons and devotees. So somebody may ask the question, Prabhupada raises the question, well, how is it that Prahlad Maharaj was happy his father was killed? What kind of devotee is he? His father's killed and he's happy? Requesting the Lord, oh yes, this disturbing demon is finished. So it means he's glad his father is killed. And sometimes some non-devotees may look at the picture of Nrisingadev and see him killing, and they say, what kind of God is that? So what would you say to these people? What kind of God He's like this. In fact, there was a court case, and they showed, I think, they, as evidence against the devotees. They showed that, look, this is who they worship, Mr. Shingadev. So what would you say to somebody who says, what kind of God? Yes. Okay, he's giving liberation to the person. Of course, they don't even know what is liberation. But still, yeah, that's one point. Yeah, Jamashin.
This is the Lord eradicates sinful desires in the heart.
Okay, he eradicates sinful desires in the heart. Yes, Marvin.
We're not the body.
We're not the body. I guess, yes, that's one way of looking at it. We're not the body, so if so, they can also kill. The Lord can kill, yes.
Whatever the Lord does, seemingly good or bad, is good, because he's transcendent, he's absolute, he's all good, so therefore...
Right, whatever he does is all good, whatever he does, yes.
When we get angry, we also look angry.
When we get angry? We look fierce too. We don't look good. Okay, there's still one more point, which that's still there. Yes, Adi Purush? Yes, yes. He's such a God that if his devotee is in trouble, he'll come like this and protect him. So for the devotee, he's not fierce. He's very nice. So Vrishchika, scorpion, sarpa, snake. Prabhupada talks about one snake, which he found, he was in Allahabad, and the snake was in his bed underneath the mattress. And he said, I don't know how it came, but I told the servants, and they came with a stick, Prabhupada said, and they took away his mattress. They saw the snake was there, and he was so afraid. Prabhupada said, okay, take him, but don't kill him. But later on, he found out they killed him. So Prabhupada said, don't kill this poor fellow. Take it and send it to the forest. Even though the saints are happy to kill a snake, Prabhupada didn't want to kill the snake that he found in his bed. So another time in Mayapur, he told the story that his spiritual master, Shrita Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, was upstairs in the mat. And there was a snake, and the devotees were asking permission to kill it. And he said immediately, yes, he should be killed. So Prabhupada had a doubt at that time, you know, how can he order the snake to be killed? Then after many, many years, he came across this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. He says, oh, now I understand why a sadhu is pleased when a scorpion or a snake is killed. Because the snake and the scorpion, they bite innocent people for no reason, without any fault. You don't do anything and they will still bite you. Like one of my son's friends, even my friend, her husband, they were living in Rishikesh, and he went to clean the fan at nighttime, and he thought there was a cloth in the fan, but it was a snake in the fan, and the snake bit him, and he died. And her son was only 3 years old at the time. So he was innocent. There was no reason for that snake to bite him, but still he bit him. So this is the envious nature of snakes. They will kill so many people. So Prabhupada said, better to kill it to stop its sinful activities. And that is the reason given here. So the asuras, the atheists, are just like scorpions, just like snakes. So it's better if he's killed. In Manu Samhita, it says, to hang a murderer, this is a great favor to him. Because if he's not killed, then the sinful activities will continue, and the next birth he will suffer. But if he's killed in this life, all his sinful activities are finished. He doesn't have to suffer the reaction. So it's very good. So Chanaka Pandit says in this verse, Sarpakura Kalakura, that there are two envious creatures, a snake and an envious man. And the man is more dangerous than the snake, because Mantrashari Vasha Sarpa Kalakinani Varyate. You can subdue a snake by herbs and by chanting particular mantras. And we see this in India. There are so many snake charmers. And they actually have some power over the snake. And one time Prabhupada tells a story about there was one snake charmer. He came to his university. And all of the students were taunting him and saying, oh, those snakes don't have any poison. But actually they were poisonous snakes. And so the snake charmer, he let all the snakes loose. He had about 30, 40, and all the students were just running like anything. And then he called them back with his musical tune. And also these snake charmers, they can cure if you get bit by a snake. Another of my friends, she was on traveling Sankirtan somewhere in Gujarat. And she had a really nice spot in one. I used to also do traveling Sankirtan in India, in Gujarat, Maharashtra, and Rajasthan. So what we used to do is we would go to a village and we would set up our table in the middle of the village, the best spot, and sell books. So she got a really good spot in one village, but unfortunately it was across from a snake charmer. And he was envious of her because she was taking away all his customers. And so he was telling her, you go away, don't stay here. But she didn't go. So then the next village, she got bit by a snake. And then they couldn't cure it. And she didn't die, but she had her leg was all swollen up for a couple of weeks. And finally she found another snake charmer. And that snake charmer chanted some mantras, and then she was okay. So these things happen in India only. And in Mayapur, there are many cases where one child was bitten by a snake and or scorpion. And some of the Muslims, they know how to counteract by chanting mantras and doing things. So they took him by very fast motorcycle. One of our devotees is a very fast motorcycle driver. He took that child to one Muslim, and he was cured. The child was saved. So these things happen. But the snakes, they are very sinful creatures. And people who are like snakes are very sinful. There is one person in Bombay who was a snake-like person who was not allowing Srila Prabhupada to get the land. And Srila Prabhupada, when he died of a heart attack, Prabhupada was informed, and Prabhupada was very, very happy. And so the devotee said, how is this? You're happy? He said, yes, he was a snake. He was like a snake, and I was praying to Lord Nrisimhadev to kill him. So this is... Nrisimhadev is just like a lion. He's very ferocious to other animals. But to his own child, then he's very peaceful. There is another memory of one devotee, Haridas, in Bombay. One time he saw Srila Prabhupada in his room. Prabhupada was laughing in his room alone. And Haridas asked Prabhupada, why are you laughing? Srila Prabhupada said, oh, I was remembering my past life. I was a doctor, and I was sinless. I had not committed any sin, and I had a guru. And one day I remember it was raining, and I was serving my guru. I was fanning him, and he could see a snake nearby, and he told me, go and kill that snake. So Prabhupada said, now I remember why my guru Maharaj made me kill that snake, so I had to take birth in this life to save so many snakes like you all. Save all of you. And so that was Prabhupada's. He killed a snake in his last life, so he had to come back. So he says. So we sing, Ito Nishinga Parato Nishinga. Our only shelter is Nrisimhadev. So the world, this world, Padam Padam Vipadam Natesham, very dangerous. So every step we will find envious people. You can't live peacefully here. So therefore we always have to pray to Lord Nrisimhadev for protection. We should follow Prahlad Maharaj. So there's one more comment by Srila Prabhupada in the morning walk. He said that snakes you can tame, but still... Oh, no, this is what he was taking this analogy from Isha Upanishad. Even if a snake has a jewel on his head, you should not trust it. You should be afraid of that snake. It cannot be trusted. And he said also a demon may be your friend, but you cannot trust him. In fact, I think in Hitopadesha it says, better to have an enemy who is a saint than to have a demon who is a friend. Better to have a saintly enemy than a friendly demon who is your friend. So Prabhupada said, you cannot trust a demon. He said, just like in here in London, the sky you cannot trust, even if it's clear, at any moment the cloud will come. So he said, this is the snake or snake-like person. So verse 15, again, Prahlad is praying for Lord Nrisimhadev to be pacified. Naham pipemya chitate tipaya lakasya jivarka netra bhukati babasagadamstra antrasya shata chakeshara shankukana nirhara vitta digipad haribin nakakra. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, your mane soaked with blood or your high, wedge-like ears. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails which are meant to kill your enemies. So Prahlad, again we see these prayers, he's praying for the devotees. The demigods are all afraid, and he's praying on their behalf. Not for himself, because he's not afraid. Purport, Prabhupada says, Lord Nrisimhadeva's fierce appearance was certainly most dangerous for the non-devotees, but for Prahlad Maharaj, such a fearful appearance was not at all disturbing. The lion is very fearsome for other animals, but its cubs are not at all afraid of the lion. The water of the sea, now he's giving many examples. The water of the sea is certainly dreadful for all living entities on the land, but within the sea, even the small fish is unafraid. Why? Because the small fish has taken shelter of the big ocean. It is said that although great elephants are taken away by the flooding waters of the river, the small fish swim opposite the current. Therefore, although the Lord sometimes assumes a fierce appearance to kill the Duskatis, the devotees worship him. Keshavajita narahari rupa jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare jaya jagadisha hare. The devotee always takes pleasure in worshipping the Lord and glorifying the Lord in any form, either pleasing or fierce. So everyone's afraid, but Prahlad Maharaj is not afraid. He's describing all the fearful features, but he is not afraid of Lord Nrisimhadeva. So then, in the next verse, he will tell what he's afraid of, this material world. Verse 16. Jasta smyahanki panavat saladusahakara samsaru shakakaranarga satam panita padha sukarma bhishatamaten pimulam pitta pavada sharanam havayase karanu. O most powerful and insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities. Therefore, I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from condition life? So we are all waiting for this day when we'll be called by the Lord. When will he call us? So Kripana Vatsala, what does this mean, Kripana Vatsala? And why is the Lord Kripana Vatsala? We hear about Bhakta Vatsala, yes?
He's kind to all the conditioned
souls. He's kind to all. And who are the Kripanas?
Selfish people.
Misers. Yes. Middle of the purport. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in execution of religious principles. Yada yada dharmasya glanya bhavati bharata. And it goes, charatmanam shijamyaham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home back to Godhead. Sarvatarmam pirityaja mamekam sharanam vaja. Thus, Prahlad Maharaj expected the Lord by his kindness would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. So Prabhupada asked the question, okay, you're not afraid of Nrisimhadeva, which is the most fearful, then what are you afraid of? Yes, I'm afraid of this material world. Srila Prabhupada used to say that we're not afraid enough of Maya. But Prahlad Maharaj was afraid of Maya. There is a word, is it here? Yes. What is the word here in the Sanskrit for what Prahlad Maharaj is afraid of? It's actually three words, yes. Sangsara chakra. Sangsara chakra. So he's going to be describing this sangsara chakra in very great detail. Now Vishnu Chakravarti says, I'm not afraid of you, however, I'm afraid of bad association, which breeds hostility to you. So what he's afraid of is that by the association of the demons, he may also become a demon. He may become hostile. The terrible cycle of rebirth among those who envy you and insult you is intolerable. Prahlad does not mean ordinary rebirth, as will be evident from his later words, that I am not anxious about the material ocean of suffering because my consciousness is immersed in chanting your glories. I am afraid of that rebirth where I, a devotee, will be thrown among the demons who will wish to devour me, as it were. So then Nrisingadev asks the question, according to Vishnu Chakravarti, are you thrown there by me? And Prahlad says, no, no, I am bound only by my own acts. Therefore, when, oh, when will you be pleased with me and call me to your lotus feet, shelter of Apavarga? When will you call me to your lotus feet to massage them? So that is Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's comments. So Sangsara Chakra Kadanat. He's very afraid of the repetition of birth and death. Prabhupada gives an example. I'm an old man now. So many inconveniences. Once you hit over 40, over 50, then you can hardly walk half the time. Sometimes you can't walk, sometimes you can't breathe, sometimes something different torture every day to be in the material body. It's torture, full of diseases. Material. Prahlad will say this in the following verses. So what is the body? It's just a bunch of diseases. So Prabhupada said, we should follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj and be afraid of being in demoniac association. Avoid demoniac association. But Prabhupada says now in the Western countries, nobody is afraid. He was lecturing in Hawaii, and one student said, well, what's the problem if I become a dog? What's wrong with that? Prabhupada said, then I can have sex on the street without any restriction. This is the facility. As human beings, so many rules and regulations. If I'm a dog, then I'm free. So what is wrong, Swamiji? And what did Prabhupada say to that? You have my blessings. That poor student. Shouldn't say things like that to Prabhupada. So anyway. But Prabhupada says, even sometimes devotees, they like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he doesn't mind also. He says, I can be born an insect if I'm born in the house of your devotee. And I don't want to be born in a very rich family if I am not a devotee. So Mama Janmani, Janmani Shre, Bhavata, Bhaktir, Ahituki, Tve.
Even Lord Brahma.
Even Lord Brahma said?
No, I mean, I don't know.
Yes, yes. If Brahma is a Bahirmukh Brahma, I don't want to be. Ichanahi. I don't want to be even Brahma if he is not a devotee. So simply, I want to take charge of serving your lotus feet. Pito pavarga sharanam vayase kadanu. When will you call me to this sharanam? So here, I think in this verse, I think that's the next one, 17. We're going to get into some other things. It'll come later on. What is this pavarga? Apavarga sharanam. It'll be a verse where Prabhupada gets into that apavarga, pa, pa, bha, ba, and ma, right in the purport. We didn't get there yet. So, if you want to get freed from this apavarga, there is one verse in Bhagavad Gita where Krishna tells you how to do it. You want to get free? You want to get free from samsara chakra? A very famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. I think he quoted it already, yes. In fact, we'll find out he's going to quote this particular verse over and over again in these purports. Sarva dharmam prityaja mam ekam sharanam vraja. Take shelter of me. So Prabhupada translated it in his lecture about giving up all varieties of religion and surrender. Here's another translation. Don't be entangled with this pavarga. Take shelter of me. So Prabhupada said, when Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita, he's actually calling us to take shelter of his lotus feet. That's his call. Prahlad says, when will you call me? Prabhupada said, he's calling. He's calling all of us right now by saying the verse, Sarva Dharma Parityaja, Mam Ekam Sharanam Vraja. He's calling us, take shelter of my lotus feet, and I will free you from all your reactions. So, Prabhupada said, when he's pleased, he will call you. So we must expect, we must always be expecting, when will he call me? When will my master call me? Don't act, don't try to see God, but act in such a way that he will call you. Please come. He's very busy. What have you done? You want to see God, Prabhupada says. So, someone was it in a class? Someone in a Bhagavatam class was saying there was a debate in London between atheists and the devotees. And the atheist said, I want you to bring your God right here. I want to see him right now. And if he doesn't come, if I don't see him, I don't believe. So, huh?
Yeah, then he said, bring Bush.
Yeah, so then the devotee said, yes, that's a very good argument. So I will ask you, you please bring President Bush over here. I want to see him. If you don't bring, I don't believe he's there. So the point is that people think they can just call Krishna like that and he will come. Why should he come for them? So we can't even call the president, the prime minister of the country to come. So how do you expect you can call Krishna to come? But of course we are calling, Prahlad is calling, when will you call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? Means when will I go back to Godhead? So Prabhupada said, we should all be anxious how Krishna will call us back to home, back to Godhead. So now in Priti Sundarbha, Jiva Goswami makes a comment about this material world. He says, because I'm afraid, because of my offenses, I'm placed among these many demons who are like me, bound by my past karma, svakarma bir bhatha, I'm thrown, pranita, amongst them. Therefore suffering, because now I'm far from you, I beg, when, kada nu, will you, being pleased with me, prita, call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, angrim, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life, apavarga sharanam. So I want to read you something by our pujari, Pankajangri Prabhu, who daily worships Lord Nrisingadev, his realizations about Lord Nrisingadev. This is in a book, this is last year's latest installation of Nrisingadev's pastimes book in Mayapur. So Pankajangri says, while dressing the Lord and remembering his mercy, I'm thinking how some people misunderstand our purpose of worshipping Lord Nrisinga. Sometimes devotees say, worship of Nrisingadev is Vaikuntha Bhav, and it cannot take one to Goloka Vrindavan. Did you ever hear anybody say that? Yes. Two of you have heard. Why you worship Lord Nrisinga? Then you go to Vaikuntha. We want to worship Govinda, Krishna. So, Pankajangri will answer that. If somebody asks you that question, this is what you should say. Lord Nrisingadev is particularly inclined towards devotees of Radha and Krishna. He is Krishna himself, appearing especially in this form to reciprocate with our desire to remove all obstacles in our devotional service. So that's why we worship. He removes all obstacles, and he's very merciful to Radha Krishna devotees. So Pankajangri says, if one can always raise his hands and call out with great love names of Nitai Gaur and Radha Madhava, that's wonderful. But if there is something in your heart that is stopping you from that spontaneous call, why not go in all humility before Lord Nrisingadev and pray? With his sharp nails, he may pierce those crooked desires in your heart and throw them far away. Well, that's what's stopping us. This is his main function. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes, therefore, I will pray at the feet of Lord Nrisingadev to purify my heart and give me the desire to serve Krishna. Weeping, I will beg at the lotus feet of Nrisinga that I may worship Sri Radha and Krishna in Navadvipa Dham, free from all obstacles. At that moment, by Lord Nrisingadev's mercy, I will exhibit symptoms of ecstatic love for Radha and Krishna, and I will roll on the ground by the door of Lord Nrisingadev's temple. So that is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's prayer to Lord Nrisingadev. Now here's some more arguments by Pankajangri Prabhu. Why Lord Nrisingadev? Didn't Lord Chaitanya reveal his divinity to Shivas Thakur while Shivas was worshipping his Nrisingha deity by saying, Shivas, don't you know I'm the same person whom you are worshipping behind those closed doors? So Shivas was worshipping Nrisingha. Lord Chaitanya said, I'm the same person. And what about Advaita Acharya, whose offerings of tulsi and Ganga water, along with his loud calling, caused the Lord to descend? He worshipped a big Nrisinga shalagram. So there. It's Advaita worshipped, Shiva's Thakur worshipped, Pankajangi is worshipping, Bhaktivinoda Thakur worshipped, and we are worshipping Lord Nrisingadev. Because he's very kind to Radha Krishna devotees. So now, Pankajangri is back to his puja. I now begin putting ornaments on the Lord's body. I adjust Sri Nrisingadev's necklaces so they hang symmetrically, tie shining bracelets on his wrist, and fix beautiful rings on his lotus fingers. I am so close to you, O Lord, and yet so far away. When will I become a devotee? Prahlad, your foremost bhakta, is indicating he is not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes as bright as the sun, your frowning eyebrows. He fears not your sharp pinching teeth, your garland of intestines, and your mane soaked with blood, nor your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee, nor your nails meant for killing your enemies. However, he says, I'm very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet? I know, he says, Sri Prahlad was saying that last point only for our benefit, for he was always completely surrendered to you. Now, Pankajangri is telling his own experience of being saved by Lord Nrisingadev. One time, I felt surrendered to you, at least for a few minutes. That was during the big flood in 1987. 1987, the water went up very high, even covering Nrisingadev, I think, after a while. While offering you puja, standing waist-deep in water, a big, frightening snake swam in the temple, passing behind you and stopped about 5 feet in front of me, finding its exit blocked. After examining me for some long moments, it dipped down out of sight in the muddy Ganga water. Feeling myself in imminent danger, I noticed the hair on my arm standing on end, with no weapon to defend myself nor the ability to run away. I felt very insecure. In such a helpless condition, I turned to you, O Lord, and I knew my fate was completely in your hands. You are the super soul in everyone's heart. If you want that snake to bite me, it will bite. If you don't, it won't. Let me continue my service. The result is always depending on you. Then I became peaceful again, feeling the safety of your shelter. I finished the morning puja, but I couldn't stop thinking about the incident. It reminded me of the description by Lord Kapila of babies in the womb in their helpless and painful condition. They get the darshan of Paramatma, the Lord in the heart. If they are pious, they pray. If he relieves them from their suffering condition, they would, after being relieved from the womb, exclusively worship him. But as soon as they're out and in good shape, they forget everything. Still, I have great hope that one day I'll be able to serve you nicely for your pleasure. By the way, as long as the temple room was filled with water from the flood, the snake would come every day, circumambulate the deity once, and then go out. Who knows who the snake actually was? Well, that was his experience. So then the end of the puja, covering his body with fresh garlands of flowers and tulsi, offering fresh sandalwood paste mixed with fragrant flowers and tulsi to his lotus feet, which symbolizes sacrificing everything to the Lord. The morning puja is now complete. Hearing the devotees gathering outside makes me hurry. It's time for darshan. I blow the conch 3 times and open the doors to reveal the resplendent Lord. Jai Sri Prahlad Nrisingadev. Devotees bow down, happy to see their Ugra Nrisinga again. In their heart, they know he's not really as Ugra as he looks. So this is our Nrisingadev Pujari's realizations. So yes, so I think many of us may anybody here have experience where you're protected from Lord Nrisingadev. He chanted his mantra, 1, 2, me, also me, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Don't worry, I won't call on you. 7. I have personal experience also. All of us, we have personal experience of how when we chanted the Nrisinga mantra, we were protected. So it works. It actually works. So we have to take shelter of Lord Nrisingadev, like Prahlad, as Prahlad did, and help us. Even when you're not, even if you're casually taking shelter of Lord Nrisingadev, still he protects you. Even I have that experience too, that sometimes I'm just saved for no reason from a very difficult situation, and I know, okay, it's Lord Nrisingadev. He protected me. Well, verse 17. Yasmat priya priya viyoga samyoga janma shoka dhina sakala yoni shudakyamana dukham sharam tarapi dukham atatiyaham puman pramami padame tavadasa yogam. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heavenly or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation. Although there are many remedies by which to get out of miserable life, any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. So the only remedy is service. What remedies? Anybody have that experience where the remedies are more miserable than the disease? Yes? Which remedy was that? You got a what?
A problem with my intestine.
Oh, your intestinal problem.
And they gave me a medicine. And from that medicine, I got infections in the nose, ears.
And they gave you a medicine and you got infection in the nose and the ears and sinus?
Yeah. Later it appeared that this medicine, it became a forbidden product of my...
And later the medicine became forbidden.
But since 30 years I have these infections.
So since 30 years you're suffering from that medicine, the effects of the medicine.
And the problem with my intestines, that's gone.
And the intestinal problem's gone, but now you got for 30 years you're suffering from that. Yes. As I was saying in one class, I don't remember which year I was telling that, but in London, the doctors went on strike for 1 month. And they found the death rate went down 30%. So they don't know what they're doing, actually. I have that experience. I almost died from a supposedly 10-minute biopsy. Yes?
Should we operate on him or should we let him live?
Shall we operate or shall we let him live? In Russia, this is true? Operate or let him live?
And then the other thing I heard was some cars thinking that...
Yeah. Actually, I think I have that here. He's talking with Bardraj. You create a car for easy transportation, and then you have experienced the power problem, accident problem. If there's no power problem, you get petrol, and you commit more accidents. And if you stop the car, you can't move, because now you've created a city. If you want to go see a doctor, it's 30 miles off this way. If you want to go shopping, it's 30 miles that way. But here, it's so nice. You can just go walking and do everything in Vrindavan. It's like still not that bad. Everything is here in the one place. Yeah. There's so many problems. And he says, and now because they have this transportation, they go to office early in the morning, they come back 11 o'clock at night. He said he's seen that. And few hours family life, they just have sex and sleep. And one devotee said, Radha Balava, he said, my father used to get up early in the morning, go to work, and he'd be so tired from going to work. As soon as he got home, he would eat and immediately fall asleep. So I was asking him, why are you working so hard? And he would say, well, just to maintain the children. But now he has no wife, no children, he's still working hard. So what is the problem? The Prabhupada says, horrible civilization, just chant Hare Krishna. What are some other examples? Of course, doctors are one example. Especially in India also. Well, another I know, one of our workers in MVT, he went to what they must do is give you injection, no matter what. Because without injection, then it's not like if you go to see a doctor, you must have injection. So they gave him injection and he died in the hospital. And so this is, you have to be careful. Yeah. Oh, they built dams in West Bengal. To control the flooding.
In Mayapur. But then there was a study just released that it actually had the opposite.
It had the opposite effect. It, just like last year, right? The dams get full, they open the dams, then the flooding is much quicker than it would have been. It floods overnight. And some of our devotees died in the last flood. No, because of that, yeah. Dilika Ladu, yes, yes. Dilika Ladu.
One who is not married to a man's sword.
One who is...
One who hasn't tasted the Dilika Ladu, the man's sword, I never tasted the Ladu.
Right. So one who is not married, he laments, oh, I never tasted this ladu.
But one who has tasted the laments, oh, I didn't taste well, I have to taste again.
The one who has tasted, he said, oh, he laments, I didn't taste well, I have to taste again.
So this is like married life.
Yes, this is like married life, unfortunately. As soon as you, there's that verse I read, as soon as you, the husband and wife, make their plans for happiness, then the distress begins. That there is no happiness, actually. So that's why in Krishna consciousness we have an ashram. It's an ashram. And when we study Varnashram next week, we'll see how there's two kinds of brahmacharis. One is the brahmachari who's naishtik, and the other kind is the grihastha brahmachari. Prabhupada says, two kinds. Grihastha brahmachari and naishtik brahmachari. And they're both brahmacharis. If you actually follow the rules of grihastha life, then you're a type of brahmachari, Prabhupada says. Upakorvana brahmachari. Okay? Anything else? We have here in the verse so many problems. Viyoga samyoga janma. That means we're separated. Prabhupada explains these Sanskrit words, that sometimes we are separated, sometimes we're together. Because of separation, we're placed in a most regrettable condition. So what we are separated, we're separated from our former life, and then we're connected with a new life, and that's Viyoga Samyoga. It's a samsara chakra. And then there's Shoka Agnina. If that's not enough trouble, there's Shoka Agnina. What's the Shoka Agnina? Shoka. Yes.
Lamentation.
Fire of lamentation. Agni. Dayamana. We're burning in the fire of lamentation. Burning. Prabhupada said, not only human society, Sakala Yonishu, all of the species, they're also fighting and mixing intimately and fighting. Monkeys especially. See, because they come to my house and they fight. First they'll have an all-night party, and in the morning they'll all fight. Half the time they're having a good time, and half the time they're fighting each other. Always fighting, always wounded. So this, Prabhupada says, this is how our United Nations is the same thing. If you get a bunch of dogs together, then what solution will you get? So he gave an example of, if you have a boil in your body, it's painful. But the operation is more painful, especially in India, because they just do it like that without any anesthetic. If so, beware if you have boils in India. So the remedial measure is worse than the misery itself. So this is Prahlad Maharaj. We're burning in the fire of lamentation. These are the problems. There's only one remedy. What's the remedy, he said?
Devotional service.
Instruct me in your devotional service. Otherwise, no peace. So Prabhupada said, we should understand this from all angles of vision and stick to Krishna consciousness very rigidly, and then we'll be happy. So verse 18. Soham piyasya suvira para devataya lila katastava nishinha vivin shagita anjastitam yanugrihangura vipramutto durgani te parayugale ahamsasanga. O my Lord Nrsingadev, by engaging in a transcendental loving service and association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of material nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship, who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma and his reciprocal succession. In this way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. So, continuation of the last verse, how to perform devotional service in the association of Hamsa Sangha, great Paramahansas, liberated souls. And this means parampara system. So, I forgot to read the comment for the last verse, verse 17. I'll do that now. Lord Nrsingadev asks, according to Vishnudas Chakravarti Thakur, Nrsingadev asks Prahlad, what will you do with service to my feet? Better enjoy opulence and happiness of your father's kingdom of the three worlds. So Prahlad replies, Because everybody who is born has to go through countless separations with loved ones and countless encounters with foes. Therefore, just like in any species, one burns in the fire of distress. In the king's body also, one cannot get rid of such fire of distress. Then, suppose Nisringadeva says, okay, there's distress, but there are so many remedies for the fire of distress. And Prahlad says, the remedies are more bitter than the distress itself. Forgetting distress, I may obtain a body of a pig, and in delusion think I'm happy, but that is just illusion. Therefore, please tell me the method, yogam, of obtaining your service. Please teach me truthfully. For if I engage in your service and in any form of life, I'll experience no distress whatsoever. So then, verse 18, but maybe, Lishigadev says, while engaging in my service, you also find some other remedy for material miseries. Then Prahlad, bursting with determination and pride, says, I am that Prahlad who is known as a servant of your unalloyed devotee. Unlike others, I will not accept jnana, karma, even in a dream. Then the Sringadev says, but don't miseries exist even for a devotee who is above the modes? Prahlad says, these difficulties, suffering and separation from you, I will quickly cross, overcome in a superb manner by obtaining your direct service. By the mercy of your kirtan, I'm not a procrastinator. Because your two feet are like a lotus, their abodes, your associates, are like swans. They came to deliver me, and thus I got their association. So that is his answer. So Nisringadeva is telling him something, and these prayers are an answer to what Lord Nisringadeva is, the conversation between Prahlad and Nisringa. Now, there's another wonderful comment here by Vishnu Chakravarti in regards to the Sanskrit words of this verse, especially the first line, sung by Brahma means bona fide. So that's not the first line, but some... Virinchagita? Okay, that's the second line. Virinchagita, sung by Brahma. And if chanting your glories, no one feels fatigue glorifying you. Now, in these three words, Priyasya, Suhida, Para, Devataya, three different kinds of devotees and their relationships with the Lord. Priyasya is the Priya, beloved for the Ujjala Bhaktas. So that's the Maturya, Ujjala Bhaktas. Priya. He's Suhida, he's a great friend for those who are in friendship, Sakiras. And Para Devataya, Supreme Personality of Godhead for Dasya Bhaktas like me. So Prahlad is saying, I am your Dasya Bhakta. So for me, you are Para Devataya. For your friends, you are Suhida. And for your lovers, you are Priya. So three different types are he's including in his prayer here. Prahlad Maharaj. So in the purport, Prabhupada says, how we can make it easier to chant. Now, Prahlad is recommending to chant your glories. How do we make it easier to chant Hare Krishna? Sometimes we find obstacles in our chanting. So how can we overcome those obstacles easily? By association. Purport. A devotee's life and duty are very well explained herein. As soon as a devotee can chant the holy name and glories of the Supreme Lord, he certainly comes to the liberated position. Attachment for glorifying the Lord by hearing and chanting the holy name and activities of the Lord, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, certainly brings one to the position where material contamination is absent. One should chant the bona fide songs received from disciplic succession. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that chanting is powerful when one follows disciplic succession. Evam parampara praptam imam majasaya vidhi. Manufacturing many ways of chanting will never be effective. However, chanting the song or narration left by the previous acharyas, Mahachino ye nagata sapanta, is extremely effective. And this process is very easy. So it's easier if we follow the authorities and we follow the previous acharyas. That will make it easier. Therefore, in this verse, Prahlad Maharaj uses the word anja, easily. Accepting the thoughts of exalted authorities through disciplic succession, certainly much easier than the method of mental speculation by which one tries to invent some means to understand the absolute truth. The best process is to accept the instructions of previous acharyas and follow them. Then, God-realization and self-realization become extremely easy. So here we have we should follow their instructions. That makes it easier. By following this easy method, one is liberated from the contamination of the material modes of nature. Thus, one can certainly cross the ocean of nescience, in which there are many miserable conditions. Crocodiles in the ocean of nescience. What are these crocodiles? When we're in the ocean of nescience, we may encounter various crocodiles. Mayavadis, mostly, according to Nectar of Devotion. Yes, Adipurush?
Lust, anger, greed.
Yes, okay. We have the opposition that is outside and we have the opposition that is inside. Our demoniac mind. Our Mayavadi mind as well. Impersonal mind. By following in the footsteps of the great Acharyas, one associates with the Hamsas or Paramahansas, those who are completely freed from material contamination. So the end of the purport. One might say that becoming advanced in spiritual life also involves tapasya, voluntary acceptance of some inconvenience. However, such inconvenience is not as dangerous as material attempts to mitigate all miseries. So we see the devotees, they undergo so much trouble sometimes. And when I was preaching in Russia, in Moscow, one of the ladies said to me, you know, I see these karmis, they seem to be in a much better position than we are. They're having very nice things, and they're having nice car and nice place to stay, and here we are, we're in the ashram, and the food is not that good. And so what's the answer to that? What is this inconvenience? What do we say? Yeah. Tapo divyam puchukayena. Okay. Okay, so this tapasya is for unending happiness. And that tapasya is for unending happiness. And not even happiness, because it's mixed with distress. It's always mixed. Jamashtami? Same. Okay. So here, Virincha Gita. What is this Virincha Gita? What is this... What is Brahma? What are the prayers of Brahma that we should recite every day? Brahma Samhita. And what else? Yes? Srimad Bhagavatam. Yes, so many prayers by Lord Brahma in Bhagavatam. 9th chapter, 3rd canto. 14th chapter of 10th canto. Many nice prayers. Okay, the whole Bhagavatam is... prayers of whole, it's all coming from Lord Brahma. He's our first guru in our succession. So you can say the whole Bhagavatam, and that's following parampara, following Lord Brahma, Virincha Gita, Lila Katha. So Prabhupada said Prahlada is also giving a warning that we should not compose in a whimsical way. Yugalaya hang sasanga, pada yugalaya hang sasanga. We follow the hang sasanga. So sincere desire to serve Krishna in any condition. So Prabhupada defines a Paramahansa. He's a person who has sincere desire to serve Krishna in any position, in any circumstance, jivan mukta. Sincere desire to serve Krishna. Although he's living in the body, he's Paramahansa. And he quotes that prayer by Mukundamala Stotra. Who wrote Mukundamala Stotra? King Kulshekhar, right. Let my mind be entangled in the stem of your lotus feet, as the hangsa, as the swan, is entangled in the lotus flower. So very easily we can cross the ocean of nescience if we associate with pure devotees. Because the Prabhupada said that the pure devotee, he can extract from the wood-like heart, he can extract the spirit. And we'll hear more about this tomorrow, how he's very indebted to his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Verse 19. Another famous verse, which Prabhupada often quoted. Balasaneha sharanam gitaro nishinha Nartasya chadaramadam timajitavna Taptasya chapati vidirayahan visheshtas Tavakipotanopitam tadupekshitanam. My Lord Nrisimhadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their benefit. whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient. And a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. So Purport Prabhupada says, through parental care, through remedies for different kinds of disease, and through means of protection on the water, in the air, and on land, there is always an endeavor for relief from various kinds of suffering in the material world, but none of them are guaranteed measures for protection. They may be beneficial temporarily, but they afford no permanent benefit. Despite the presence of a father and mother, a child cannot be protected from accidental death, disease, and various other miseries. No one can help, including the parents. Actually, this is a fact. And you try to tell the parents that, and they will never agree to give up their control or their desire to protect the child. And actually, there is one case where the mother did protect. She did save her children in that tsunami. There was some photographers taking pictures of the tsunami coming. And in the picture, all the people were running away from the wave. Only one lady was running into the wave. And who was that lady? She had 6 children in a house when she was trying, and she got them out actually. So she was running the opposite direction. Why? To protect her child, her children. So this is happening. The parent is so strong that somehow it's just in there that you have to protect. If I don't feed this child, it will die. And then that you get it. And now my son is trying to tell me, no, I'm big now, I'm 19 years old, you don't have to do this anymore. It's hard to get out of it, out of that mentality. Yudhisthira had that problem in the first canto where he wanted to protect Dhritarashtra and Gandhari and his mother. So that's a very hard misconception to overcome. But here it says you cannot protect. No one can help, including the parents. Purport, ultimately the shelter is the Lord, and one who takes shelter of the Lord is protected. That is guaranteed. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Kuntiha pitijani hiname pattapanashati. O son of Kunti, declared boldly that my devotee never perishes. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. In Ayurvedic medicine, some doctors will tell you that, okay, you take this medicine, along with it, then you pray. You pray to the Lord. And in Vrindavan, you pray to Radharani, or you pray to Krishna. So the actual Ayurvedic doctors, they tell you that. And I've heard that in Bombay, I've heard that in Calcutta, I've heard that in Vrindavan as well. That along with the medicine, you must pray. So because the Ayurveda is coming from the Ved, which is coming from the Supreme Lord, so they know that. Without the Lord's help, then the cure will not work. Therefore, unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although as a matter of routine duty, one must of course accept other remedial measures, no one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Srila Prabhupada was very merciful. He allowed us to go to doctors, but I heard that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was not so merciful. Or maybe he was more merciful, I don't know. He said, you just chant Hare Krishna, and you will be cured. Actually, when we were on the retreat, then our sannyasi, Sachinandan Swami, gave an example of how he chanted and he was cured. When he was alone mountain climbing somewhere or in the Himalayas, where he fell, he had a fall. He was separated from the rest of the devotees. He had a fall and he twisted his ankle or his leg, and he knew that he wouldn't be able to walk. So he chanted Gayatri Mantra with a desire to cure his leg, and sure enough, he was cured and he walked to where the other devotees were. Yes?
There's a whole list of different kinds of meditations for different diseases in Krama Deepika by Keshav Kashmiri. For Gopal Mantra.
For Gopal Mantra, yes. We don't need to study that. But in case you're interested.
It's in Maharaja's book, Gayatri.
It's in whose book? In Satyananda Swami's which book?
Gayatri.
Oh, it's in the Gayatri book. Oh. So you can look it up in the Gayatri book. in case you're in an extreme emergency and there's nothing to do. Even in Bhagavatam, it tells about how to get the mystic powers by different forms of meditation. The 18 mystic powers, or 8 mystic powers plus 10, how to achieve them by different forms of meditation on the Lord himself. Meditation on the Lord. So yes, chanting is a solution for everything. Cure for all diseases. Chanting Hare Krishna. So Prabhupada says, we have, so he's taking the position of a materialistic person. We've got science, we've got medicine, we've got all these relief arrangements. They're useless? Prabhupada said, yes. Unless, if Krishna says no, then you may bring all your relief measures and nothing will happen. Krishna says no. You open so many hospitals, if Krishna says this patient must die, you cannot give any protection. In spite of your hospital, good medicine, good physician, the patient must die. So Prabhupada, often when he would talk about the scientists, he said, why don't you give a pill to stop disease? Janma mrityu jara vyadhi, this is the problem. You can make very nice medicine, but just one pill to stop all diseases. That was his challenge to the scientists. That you cannot do. One pill to stop death. One pill to stop old age. But everybody is still dying and getting sick and getting old. New diseases are coming. So if Krishna likes, he can give all protection. Prabhupada tells a story. There is one hunter. He spread his net. And some little birds fell in the net. And they were crying. And the mother, she saw the baby. She jumped in the net and she got caught. And the father saw the babies. And he said, if I go and save them, I'll be captured. Let me take sannyas. So a different story from what we usually hear. The father falls into. I said, no, I take sannyas. So that's this verse. I said, this verse is also for sannyas. That is intelligence. You cannot protect your family. That is not possible. They must die. They must be captured by Maya's net. If you want to save them, then make them Krishna conscious.
This happened to Sridhar Swami.
This happened to?
Sridhar Swami.
Yeah?
He,
Sridhar Swami. Oh, Sridhar Swami. Our Sridhar Swami?
No, Acharya.
Acharya. Acharya. Oh, okay.
He took sannyas. Actually, his wife was pregnant.
His wife was Sridhar Swami.
Yeah.
Well, I thought it was one of those Ramanuja or Yamanacharya. Okay, his wife is pregnant. Yeah, I heard it for Ramanuja.
And he saw, you know,
the wife was pregnant.
And he saw a little.
No, that, well, if you're telling it after.
Catching it.
No, see what happened. The wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
Then she gave birth and she died, and there was this small baby without a mother.
Oh, yeah.
And he was ready to take sannyas. And he thought, well, how, you know, there's this baby. What shall I do? Then he saw a baby lizard on the wall, and the lizard grabbed some food and ate it. So then he said, okay. And he took sannyas. He said, yes, if the lizard baby can be maintained, then why my baby cannot be maintained by Krishna? Yes. But then Prabhupada gives a concession here. He says, if you want to save them, then make them Krishna conscious. So yes, we are all fallen in the net. The net is Maya, network of Maya. All the children, the wife, everybody is in the network of Maya. So if you want to save them, the only remedy is to make them Krishna conscious. Then he talks about the analogy of the boat on the ocean. And Srila Prabhupada said, I have got experience when I was going to New York on the boat. I had no money to go by plane. So in the deep ocean, Atlantic Ocean, the boat, huge boat, is just like a small little cork. Just like a little ball. It can just tip over at any moment. He said it's very unsteady. Any moment can capsize. Although very big ship with a very big load. He said, so we're all in this ocean. So at any moment we can drown. Drown means, what does drown mean?
Forget Krishna.
Forget Krishna. Go to the mode of ignorance at the bottom. Now sometimes we're floating at the top in the mode of goodness and sometimes we're at the bottom in the mode of ignorance. So at any moment, it can happen to us. It can happen to anybody. We are not such great devotees, so we can drown. So therefore, we have to always be chanting Hare Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, in 1977, he was very sick, and And the devotees were trying to think of, oh, what medicine and this we should give you. And Prabhupada said, no, no severe treatment. Just chant Hare Krishna. Then Bhavananda said, but Prabhupada, when your health wasn't good in the past, they started chanting 24-hour kirtan all around the world. So maybe we should do that. Prabhupada said, no, not for my health you do your kirtan, only that time. It's just when I get sick, then you start chanting 24-hour kirtan. That was what happened to you. Twice that we did that, I think. In 74 was one time, and then 77, 24-hour kirtan. So anyway, he said he didn't want medicine. He just wanted to die peacefully in Vrindavan. Okay, so we'll stop here. For now, any questions or comments on these verses? Yes.
Could I ask a question on that we covered on Friday?
Friday. Well, I wasn't here, but...
It was in the question bank. Explain the fact that Maharaj offers that one sees his own face in a mirror.
Oh, yeah. That's chapter 8. No.
It's
chapter 7?
No, 9-11.
Oh, 9. Okay. Oh, 9-11. Seeing his own reflection in the mirror. I have some notes on that from Prabhupada. So, yeah. Okay, let's read the verse. 9-11. Actually, I have some notes, Prabhupada's comments on that verse. Yeah. Let's see. If one's face is decorated, but he doesn't comment on the analogy. Okay, let's read the verse. See if we can figure this out. The Supreme Lord, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always fully satisfied in himself. Therefore, when something is offered to him, the offering by the Lord's mercy is for the benefit of the devotee. For the Lord does not need service from anyone. To give an example, if one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face in a mirror is also seen to be decorated. Mm-hmm. So, one's face is compared to the Lord. So he doesn't actually need anything. So, but when the devotee decorates the Lord's face, but when the devotee worships the Lord by making him beautiful, like deity worship, decorates the face of the Lord, Prabhupada always used to say that when you decorate the Lord, then you become beautiful. When you make the Lord beautiful, then you become beautiful. So we're the reflection. We're his reflection. So if we simply worship him and he becomes beautiful, then we also, it's for our benefit. So that's what he's saying. It's not for Krishna's benefit. He doesn't need anything. He's self-satisfied. He has millions of servants. But if we decorate him, then we will automatically get the benefit. We will get the result. The result goes to us, actually. In deity worship, you can compare it to deity worship. That's this verse. If you feed Krishna, you become happy. If you dress Krishna nicely, then you don't need very opulent dresses, but you're satisfied. He would always make that point, that if you give nice jewelry and nice dress to Krishna, then you will be decorated yourself. It doesn't mean nice dress, but decorated with all the good qualities. All the good qualities. Devotion. Yes?
In verse 16.
On the same point, okay.
Okay, let's wait now. He wants to say something on this point.
Okay. Can we compare this verse also to the verse that says pouring water on the roof or leaves get water?
Yeah. Yes, and in the fourth canto, it's like that. It's a little different, but it's... there's an aspect of that verse in here. There's an aspect of this verse. Yeah, because he's the root and we are the leaves. And like that. But here it's like a little bit more subtle. The face and the reflection of the face. It's like there's two different things. There's a face and there's a reflection. Whereas the tree and the root, they're connected in one sense. Well, there's a subtle connection between the face and the mirror and the face and the face in the mirror. There's a subtle connection. Is this on this point? Okay. Okay, here's another point.
Yes. When
you sincerely serve the Lord, there's no need to decorate,
the
reflection.
We are not decorating the manifest.
Yeah, that's the opposite of when you serve Krishna.
We need to decorate
then you will get everything.
So,
yeah, that's going one step further. So, therefore, no need to decorate yourself or the reflection. Yeah. Why is there no need?
Because it is like reflection. It is reflection.
Well, Prabhupada said why there is no need. Because, I mean, many people in this world feel the need to decorate themselves. So why the devotees don't feel that need? Because they are happy to see Krishna beautiful. They are happy with, they satisfy their need for having opulent clothes by giving Krishna opulent clothes. And their desire to dress opulently is satisfied when they give the opulence to Krishna and see him so beautiful. Then they're so happy. Oh, Krishna is so beautiful today. Yeah. When you're a pujari, you get that experience. Yeah. Her question is, well, whoever took sannyas, Ramanuja, Shida Swami, why is he not being merciful to that entity that was just born, that baby? If he's taken sannyas to be kind to all living entities, well, what about that poor little baby there? Yes.
Well,
many more
entities than just
one. It's limited. If you... Actually, the answer is in the purport to Queen Kunti's prayers that we're attached to our family because of skin disease. But you must expand the conception of family to include the whole world. Otherwise, if he just takes care of that baby, then he's limiting himself to one living entity. Whereas as a sannyasi, he's servant of the whole, all living entities. So he can be much more do much more valuable service to the world. Yeah, Prashant? Okay, we heard the words of Yamaraj in the form of a young boy who had no parents.
We can say that he protected.
Okay, well, he blessed the child. He would, at least he didn't have the illusion that my father is my protector.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard life. Even some of our Guru Kulis, at the age, I know when I was reading one Guru Kuli newsletter, and he said, yeah, my mother, at the age of 5, she sent me off with a bag of popcorn to some place. Right, I didn't know the people, and to Gurukul, sent him off to Gurukul. So it was hard life. And then when he finally came back with his mother and father, then they were traveling. They didn't even have a house because they were preachers. They were traveling everywhere from one country to another country preaching. So he said, I never had a house. I never had a family life. I never, he said, from the age of 5. So this is happening. Okay, let's go to the next point. You had a different...
Yeah, he's not afraid of anything, but he's concerned about it.
Yeah. So now he's... But see, you have to understand, he's in this prayer, and is in that prayer as well, he's praying on behalf of others. So we'll see that now he says, yes, I am afraid. He's praying on behalf of the conditioned souls. In this, I'm afraid of this material existence, afraid of this demonic association. When will you call me? But as his prayer, the prayers develop actually until they finally, where he actually reveals his real heart in verse 43, where he says that actually, I'm not afraid even of this material world, but I have one fear and that one concern, and that's for all these other conditioned souls. In verse 41, he's saying, we are suffering in this material world. He puts himself with these conditioned souls. But his real heart is going out to all those who are in the demoniac association, as he was. And of course his humility too, that, you know, I'm afraid. Now I'm seeing you, I'm okay, and I'm chanting, I'm okay, but maybe someday, you know, I may be in the demonic association, I may forget you, I may also fall down. And that's there too. Prabhupada said he was humble. But his real concern is for the others suffering. He's concerned for the demigods suffering. They're afraid of Nrisimhadev. And then later on he'll expand his vision to all suffering souls in this universe. Dhamana Krishna, you had next. Back to Sridhar Maharaj. We may not know the whole story. We're just getting the part. Maybe there were relatives, who knows. Yeah, okay. Madhavendra is next. Okay, well, we'll talk about that after the questions on the... Yes, we have... I will announce that. Yeah, we do have a clear picture now. Okay, yes? Okay, so the moral of the story is, be careful. When you pray to Lord Nrisimhadev, you may find yourself... Well, maybe preaching in jail, who knows. I know there was one of our devotees in Calcutta who he was put in jail, and he was doing kirtan and bhajan, and all the prisoners were so happy to have him, and one of them was a murderer. He said, you know, if you ever need my help, then I'm ready to serve you. There's anybody who's giving you trouble.
So one person can pray in such a great way to...
Yeah. Yes. Be careful. Not only Nrisimhadev, it goes for everybody except Gaur Nitai. Gaur Nitai, even Nitai. One lady, young Bhaktin, prayed like that to Nityananda. And you know, finish all my material desires. And then after a few months, she got cancer and died. Well, that was, of course, who knows? We don't know where she went. Maybe she went back to Godhead. She died in Vrindavan. Nrisimhadev, Ugra Nrisimha and Chandam at Mayapur. Smiling. He's so tame here. You just put Chandan on your Nrisimha in the summer. If you want to see him smile. No, not now. Now you put some blanket. Okay, now your time is up. Now somebody else must... Let's see if anybody else has a question or comment on these verses or experience that you'd like to share with us. Yes.
Just one thing. This verse about decorating the face.
The verse about decorating... Back to the verse about decorating the face.
Well, what's the text?
11. Verse 11. It says the Lord is pleased with his offering. But it's for the benefit of the devotees.
Something is offered.
Yes.
By seeing them.
Very good. Very good comment.
So in that way, when the same good qualities...
So nice. If we see spiritual qualities in others, our heart becomes decorated with those same spiritual qualities.
It's a reflection.
But reflection.
But if we see bad qualities...
If we see bad qualities in others, then we're seeing our own heart.
And then we are developing...
And we are developing the bad qualities. So beware. From our GBC secretary, there's a warning here that we should develop good qualities. We should see the good in others. We should, and then we can develop... We'll get the reflection in our own heart. Any other comments or questions on these verses? Wonderful. Most beautiful verses by Prahlad Maharaj, these verses now. So beautiful. And they develop more and more. Tomorrow we'll have the most beautiful verses where he's concerned for all living entities. Okay? So we'll stop. And we do have announcement about assessment. It has been finalized, sort of finalized, at least for this year, that only the classes have not been finalized, but they won't be assessed, so you don't have to worry about them if you have to give a class. And if you do, it'll be next week. But Bhurijan hasn't decided yet whether or not you'll be giving classes. So it'll be up to him, and it may be a last-minute thing. So we'll just ask those who are used to giving classes more for next week anyway. And if it's later than 8th, 9th canto, then we'll give other people more chance. So the assessment for this year will be... everyone will be required to give a seminar, and will be required to write an essay as well. To write an essay of 5 to 10 pages. It may be the same topic as a seminar, or it may be different, as you like. Every year you will have this assignment, like a seminar and an essay means for 4 years, not on each canto, but just per year, per semester. There will be one seminar and one essay. Then beyond that, for the whole 4 years, there will be required a thesis of 40 pages and outside teaching in the field of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, whether or not you have to do this canto, it may be any of the cantos, that has not been decided, but that's what the assessment will be. And if you give any classes, it is for training and it will not be assessed. So don't worry about the classes. It's just to help you know how to give the class in the style of Birijan Prabhu, how he gives it. He wants to train you up. So that will be it. And if it happens, he will probably announce it tomorrow, or he may not announce it. He may announce it on the day you give the class. Anyway, I don't know. He hasn't decided whether to do it or not. Yes. Right, no oral presentation for the essay. The seminar is the oral presentation. The essay is written. It may be separate or it may be the same topic. Yeah. Well, we will, for assessment, it will be only 1 hour. Your seminar can be any length you like, but the first day, the first hour or the last hour will be assessed. So that means that you will tell, you will, like on the first day, you will say, well, this is what will be covered in the following seminars, but today we're covering this. Or on the last seminar, you can review and come to the conclusion that we have already covered these things, and now today, the last hour will be this. So only 1 hour will be assessed.
Or it can be a 1 hour seminar.
Or it can be a 1 hour seminar. Yeah. If you want to do more, then that's what we'll do. If it's only 1 hour, then 1 hour, like that. And my idea was that you have it before the class, 1 hour, so that you come early one day whenever there's a seminar, instead of taking out of your free days. But that you can decide if you want to do that or not. But that was my idea. Yeah. Okay, so we have Leela Shuka who will give, and we have also Chandrasekhar who will give before the end of seventh canto. And if you're ready to give, then that's good. And if you want to do it later on in the eighth or ninth, then I would request you to give me your topics latest by the last week of seventh canto, topics for your essay and your seminar, so that I can just see what it is.
So it's one seminar for the three cantos?
Yeah, one seminar for three. It can cover one canto. It doesn't have to be for all of the three. Because we will have two exams. One exam will be January 8th on 7th cantos, and the second exam will be March 6th for 8 and 9 combined. So that would, 8 and 9 will be they will be covered in the exams. The seminar will just be for one thing. And you can decide if you like to have that. My idea is just have the 1 hour before the class. So then that way you don't increase the number of days you have to come. You can just increase the number of hours if you like. And we want everyone who is a student, a full-time student, to come to the seminars. That will help also if you have it in before the class and everybody's there on that day. Whereas if it's an off day, then it might be hard to do that.
So you mean to say it should be between 9 and 10?
Yeah, between 9 or quarter to 9, quarter to 10.
Or what else we have it on day out?
Hmm?
We could have it on days off.
Yeah, you could have it on days off if you prefer. It's up to you. It's up to you. You can have it on days off. Have a full day of seminars by everyone.
Who will assess?
Yeah, we'll discuss that after class. Who is expert at assessing will assess. Who has the most experience in assessing seminars and essays, they will assess. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.